And that was a reenactment of how our New Year's went. No, just kidding. Happy New Year, dear listeners.
Happy New Year. Happy 2019.
2019. We made it. We hope that you've all changed your wardrobes over to Blade Runner style clothing.
Oh, that's right.
Because this is the year.
This is the year for Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have to strap on like my...
Hey, listen, think about how you're going to end that sentence.
My see-through raincoat and my bustier.
Yeah, is it a bustier? Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, which is like, it just latches on like armor and this just protects my nips.
There you go. Exactly.
Who the fuck is texting me?
Yeah, you know, we're not, okay. Not doing anything right
Frank.
Now.
Oh, it's okay. Okay. Frankie the Sock is texting me from inside my sock drawer.
Okay.
All right.
That's a well-connected sock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knows people at ILM.
So, listeners, in case you forgot, between 2018 and 2019, I'm Ernesto Mancebo.
And I'm here to remind you that I am Pablo Morale Martinez.
And together we are Robots versus Taxes on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Correct. The only show that deconstructs pop culture and with a little slice of serious political, barely serious political.
Just a slice, just a nibble. Just
a little nibs. We've been not covering as much politics lately because it's so goddamn tiring.
The thing is we could make up the worst things and most of our audience would probably believe us just because it's that bad, or whatever we make up is not as bad as what's actually happening. So yeah, I mean, we're still in a government shutdown.
Yep.
So this makes, I don't know, two weeks at this point.
So to audiences that pick up the show in 2020, this is where it all started. I'm just assuming everybody's living in squalor, like in 1 year into the future.
Oh, yes, yes. So to our future listeners, remember, two men enter, one man leaves. and protect the water.
Yes.
Because that's what you trade with now.
That's right. Aquacola, as it's referred to in the Mad Max universe.
Exactly, exactly.
So yeah,
this motherfucker is really trying to sit like a baby in order to get funding for this wall, and I hope that the Democrats do not cave one bit, because it's ridiculous and it would be a horrible precedent to set.
I'm kind of, let's say, paranoid.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because the Democrats, you know, have shown time and time again that when they have power, they usually squander it.
Mm.
And they usually cave into the Republican base.
Mm.
So that's what I'm hoping doesn't happen this time.
I hope that they play it smarter. And at this point, how it is with Trump is that he has to try and save face, because he's made such a debacle, such a display about shutting down the government and being standoffish about getting funding for this wall, even though the Democrats before the new year have proposed funding, not for a wall, but just to maintain and maybe expand a little the existing infrastructure that already exists down there, the fences that are there, which is really what is the most logical to do at this time, as opposed to creating this giant infrastructure, which not only will be expensive to set up, but it will be expensive to maintain over the years. And meanwhile, our roads and bridges and the infrastructure that we need on a day-to-day basis for the majority of the country is crumbling. So,
right.
So it's really stupid. And on a sidebar, I just want to touch on the stupid-ass GoFundMe campaign.
Oh, that again?
That was set up. I believe at this point it's up to $20 million. But that was for the past, what is it, like 2 weeks or more that it's been running. And I've been running calculations. It's definitely slowed down. And at the current rate of donation, it will take it will take over 800 days for them to reach the 1 billion mark that they set. So it's definitely losing steam. What are they going to do once it grinds to a halt? I don't know. I mean, all that money will probably have to be returned. Well, if it's not put toward a specific goal, or if they don't reach the goal, then it has to be returned to all the donors. But yeah, it's really sad that they've coalesced enough just to make this effort, even though they cry on and on about homeless veterans and this, that, and the other, but won't lift a finger to actually make the effort to help them. With the amount of money that they've raised so far, they could do a hell of a lot of good toward those causes, but they won't.
Yeah,
but they won't.
They could, you know, they can put that into our schools.
Mm-hmm. Or shit, just their
hospitals, or
just their schools alone. Something. They can update their books so that, you know, it includes like the civil rights struggle and shit like that.
You know, the creation of antiseptics.
Yeah. Modern dentistry.
Well, they're not British.
Oh shit. You know,
let's not talk down to our.
But it's so much
to our
fun.
MAGA folks, our yeah. MAGA listeners,
our MAGA listeners, right?
Who hate listen to our dulcet tones. You know, speaking of making a mountain out of a molehill, let's flip over to the other like political quagmire that we have, mm-hmm. Which is the goddamn dancing that is going on in the halls of Congress, and how what we can do. As honest, hardworking townsfolk, to combat this rampant situation.
Very nice, very nice. Yes, dear listeners, the one and only Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, yes. Has been exposed.
Oh God!
For dancing when she was in college. Just burn it all down now. I mean,
right,
seriously.
To the ground.
We've lost
our way. Like, oh my God. For one, it was tough enough when Beto O'Rourke was in a punk rock band.
Oh my God.
And he was rocking out. And now we have to deal with dancing.
I mean, if you wanted to know, if you wanted to know what pre-World War II Germany was like before the Nazis took over, this is it, folks.
We're in the Weimar Republic.
Candidates who used to make good music that people like to listen to, and other candidates dancing. That was the rise of the Reich.
This is it. This is how it all started.
This is how it all started.
And when you have to explain to your children, like, oh, when did this dancing craze, when did these happy feet plague our humanity at large?
Now that
we can say this was patient zero.
Now that we've overwhelmed you with our bullshit.
Yeah, I know.
Guys, like, seriously, the right wing, quote-unquote, exposed Alexandria in a video she did in college dancing with her friends. Like this is supposed to... I don't even know what they thought was going to happen.
I don't understand what is the GOP's obsession with this lady. Like, she is, you know, she just made it to Congress. You know, there's other people. Like, I'm not saying, like, hey, why don't you pick on of the others, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, like, God damn, they have an obsession, an unhealthy obsession.
Yeah, no, they are frightened to death of her because she is... She's the next generation. She is what young people will look up to, and she could develop a hell of a lot of power and a hell of a lot of following with the way she conducts herself, the things that she speaks up for. And quite frankly, a lot of the people who hate her simply don't have that much time in Congress left because they're old.
Yeah, I know.
They just don't have that much time left. So I'm not wishing death on them. I'm just saying this is just the natural.
Oh, you're not?
The natural, you know, cycle of life, you know.
Right, right.
But for the GOP to think that this would be like a damaging video, like, oh, it's like, oh, she's a young person dance. It's just like, this was essentially the plot to Footloose. Like, people don't get riled up because somebody dances and dances well. Like, what's the problem?
Cue angry saxophone music. What if
they're gonna start a war on rhythm at this point, you know. It's like, we gotta stop people from, you know, moving to the beat.
John Lithgow is gonna come in and be like, rampant dancing leads to fornication. It's just like, so it's so like silly, but it was just great because it just gave Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is kind of like the master of social media at this point.
Yes.
She wields it like Thor wields his fucking hammer.
The clapbacks, man. The clapbacks.
She was just like, so, you know, she basically posted a video of herself dancing in the halls of Congress and was just like, oh, man, the GOP is going to flip when they see this, you know? And I was like, oh, my God. Dude, you are fucking awesome.
I wish she would have used that line from Deus Ex. Is it Deus? Was it,
which movie? Tell me the plot.
Shit. Freaking
give me some stars.
Freaking our boy from the new Star Wars trilogy.
Ex Machina?
Ex Machina. Okay, thank you.
It's like, you didn't even have to say his name.
you know that line like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What do you mean?
Say it. Like the dancing line.
The dancing line?
Just like, I'm going to tear up this fucking dance floor.
Oh, that's from my favorite. Fuck, how could I forget? Like, that's my one of my favorite scenes ever. It's like, why did you tear up, you know, what, the robots? Why did you tear up her picture? It's like, I'm going to tear up this fucking dance floor. Watch these moves.
Would have loved if she would have said that on Garen.
Oh, man, yeah.
Suddenly the lights change, you know. Flash mob appears out of nowhere. I hope she goes into that first State of the Union and sets up a flash mob. I swear to God.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Trump wouldn't know how to respond. What's going on? Where's this music coming from?
I don't like this. This has nothing to do with me. Melania, you know, Melania's like, you know, see you, Donald, you know, taking a plane back to Slovenia. I think that that's where she's actually from.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I can't help but to think about the contrast between like the GOP trying to get upset about Alexandria's dancing, yet our quote unquote first lady. Do I even need to say it?
What do you mean?
Like
basically her, like her very sensual pictures,
her soft porn pictures.
Yeah, her soft porn pictures.
Like they, not a peep from them on that.
No, of course not. Because
dancing,
you know, because she's the first lady.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. There was also something else that happened where the GOP law kind of like lost its mind. Elizabeth Warren, now candidate for, you know, the presidency.
Yes, yes.
She's in the running. She did an Instagram live video of her drinking, just talking, answering people's questions, drinking a beer.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Fox News was just like, how dare she? How dare she drink a beer? You know, round table of Fox News ladies. So, you know, it's like the Stepford Wives.
Of course.
And they're all kind of just, they're like, what is she trying to do? What's her angle? And I saw the video and I'm just like, she's just drinking fucking beer, guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's so ridiculous how like they love to pick and choose their battles, right?
That's all they have to pick from. I mean, it's like people being living human beings in a responsible way, like, huh, how dare you exist?
But it's crazy in the way that they've become such a caricature unto themselves that I'm not sure how they cannot be embarrassed. Because, like, you know, they, like, the whole, like, grab him by the pussy fiasco that happened, the shithole countries, Melania's like, I'm the most bullied person in the world.
Oh, poor Melania.
You know, her softcore porn past, although I really don't want to focus so much on that, but the fact that, like, she's just, like, when she surfaces, because she hardly ever you never see her be like Michelle Obama, who was like, you know, in front of the cameras doing interviews, spearheading programs.
Mm-hmm.
All we've heard from her is like that Be Best campaign and blah, blah, blah. And she wore that jacket and then she dressed up like, what's it called? The bad guy from fucking Raiders of the Lost Ark.
What the hell? Be Best at what?
I don't know.
Like, what was that campaign even about? Is it still even out? Who knows? Who cares?
Who knows? Yeah.
Who cares?
Who cares? But I mean, like, all this stuff that has been going on, and Fox News and the GOP, they don't give a shit. They don't give a solid fuck. They defend it, tooth and nail. But the moment, like, a woman, like, on the left, like, expresses themselves in any way, they're just like, you know, Michelle Obama with the bare arms. They're just like, oh my goodness. Arms. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. You know,
I think it was the melanin that threw them off.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always that. Mm-hmm. Or just like, you know,
any shade of brown, really.
Any shade of brown or any like sign that they have some kind of soul, you know,
any drop of happiness from those who are not like them. Is offensive to them.
Yeah.
It's just like, what? How dare you be happy? You know? Because that uncenters us.
You know, I said that I didn't want to make it too political, but now I can't stop thinking of shit that just happened this week.
Yeah, well.
Which is like the swearing in of the House Democrats.
A great moment.
Yes. I think Rashida Tlaib got sworn in on the Jefferson Quran.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Kristen Sinema, the first openly bisexual congressperson, got sworn in by Mike Pence.
On
a law book because she's a devout atheist.
I gotta find that video.
And you know, I'm assuming that Mike Pence immediately after that happened had to go down into his basement and basically self-flagellate himself and cry to a picture of his own mom. God. Mother, I had no impure thoughts.
Soy fantasma.
And then he ate Wonder Bread and just flew away. Oh, if life was just like my brain.
Oh, God, I could see him eating Wonder Bread like, oh, this is spicy.
Did you add anything to the Wonder Bread? What's his wife's name? Becky. I added salt. That's why it's so spicy.
Jesus Christ! Oh man.
Yes, but that happened.
Wow! Wow!
pretty intense.
Well, I'm just glad to see the diversity increasing, especially with these trailblazing women stepping into the Congress. There was a New Yorker cover that came out a few weeks ago that showed all these women sort of like in the doorway about to enter the Congress, and the rest of the Congress was just outlines of old white men.
Yes, I saw that.
And you know, this upset a few people because they were you know, surprisingly,
yeah,
you know, because they were just like, they didn't understand what the sentiment was, and they never will. They never will. That's the thing. They're just like, well, why do we have to focus on there? It's like, well, we kind of do. It's just kind of apparent, you know?
Yeah, it kind of sticks out like a sore thumb in this sea of old white men. It's mm-hmm. like you know, women of color.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there, you know?
Yep.
You know, my wife has that New Yorker. I love looking at that cover in the morning, though.
Oh my God, frame it.
It's fucking awesome. But yeah, this is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, best of luck to the new members of the House.
We support you. We're watching, and we can't wait to see what you're going to do.
So, now I want to talk a little bit about Louis C.K. Back in the news.
Even after saying that he was going to step away from the limelight and just listen for a long time.
And then he came back and then he just proceeded to take a giant shit on people who
survived the Parkland shooting.
It's a weird tone to strike when you're trying to make a quote unquote comeback.
I think this is a Hail Mary, because I believe in one of the pieces of audio that I heard, he said something about like, you know, like my career is over or I'm ruined at this point or something like that. So I think he's just saying the craziest things he can, that he can muster, and thinking maybe something will stick to the wall. Maybe I'll find a different niche in order to generate mass amounts of income for myself again. But it just sounds like really desperate, you know. They're not even jokes. It's your surly white uncle who comes to Thanksgiving that nobody can really pinpoint who invited him. But he's just there and he's spouting off at the mouth and he's drunk.
It serves us right for making our Facebook invite public.
Ugh. Like private next year, private.
But yeah, I didn't understand. Like, I don't understand why he sounds so bitter. Actually, I do understand. He feels slighted by the left.
Mm.
And so he's decided to go after the sacred cows of the left, which mm-hmm. is like, you know, which is an odd reaction to take because, you know, sacred cows of the left are like, I wouldn't say that sacred cows, but it's like, you know, untouchable topics from the left, which is like the Parkland shooting survivors.
It's the issues that we care about. Like,
yeah, it's like these poor kids, like, and he's just like, you kids should be going out and like smoking meth and
fingering each other
and doing jello shots. And now I gotta fucking listen to you. It's like, no, nobody's like, come on, dude. Like, come on, dude. It's such an easy bad joke that it sounds like somebody off of like Reddit or 4chan made it.
And it sounds so bitter. It's like these kids are doing more than any of us were doing at their age. Like,
yeah, you survive a fucking shooting.
I was,
and then come out and be like, you know what? I should go back to doing jello shots and fingering people.
It's like I considered myself a responsible teen, but I was not anywhere on the level of these kids going around the country speaking and pushing toward gun reform. It's just like, wow. Wow. No matter what they do for the rest of their lives, no matter what they do, they can be proud that they did this. And not many people who've lived three times what who are three times their age can say something like that. Like, this, it's incredible what they do. And then for Louis C.K. to come with this shit, it's just like, there's a difference between being edgy in comedy, and then there's, then you just take whatever this is.
Yeah.
This is just operating from the id, just letting your mouth just regurgitate him.
He's a bitter old man. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Fuck him.
And you got, yes, exactly. Fuck him. And you got to put it in the context to what came up in terms of the sexual abuse allegations that came out against him. It puts everything in a different light. You know, when he would say edgy things before that, before we all knew, it was framed in a way where it was just like this guy was presenting these things in terms of like how ridiculous they are, and presenting it almost like he's serious. And there was something that was kind of funny about that. But then knowing what he did, it's just like, oh shit, this is who this guy is. Like, it's coming from his truth, you know? And it's like, that's what changes it.
Not sure if it's coming from his truth, because I just feel like the whole like Me Too situation that basically, you know, upended his career changed his perspective, you know, and it made him decide that, you know what, fuck the left, mm-hmm. you know, fuck the feminists, fuck everybody, you know. Mm-hmm.
Which goes to show that's pretty much what he's thought this whole time. If he could so easily just turn around and say, you know what, fuck all these things that I used to champion.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like it's such a turnaround from like how analytical he used to be, like in his approach to his comedy, as well as like his approach to like, you know, in his approach to comedy and his overall philosophy. You know, he was, you know, for a while, when he really took off, the left embraced him because he was just like, he made common sense, you know, analyses that were hilarious to listen to. Mm-hmm. And now he just sounds like shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it sucks because, you know what, it just sucks so much because I used to love the guy. Mm. I fucking paid to go see that asshole in Madison Square Garden. Yeah. And now I'm just like, you know, the Me Too thing happened and then I was like, ugh, and now this happens and I'm just like, oh, fuck him, man.
He may, the sad part about it is that he may still find an audience. He may be like the rights comedian. If he keeps going on the path that he's on. Yeah. You know, so.
They already have a rapper. Now they're going to get a fucking comedian. But did you see fucking Kanye West tweeted on New Year's?
He's oh, like, my God.
This New Year, I'm never taking the hat off. I'm just like, oh, suck a bag of dicks.
Yeah. You know what? Do that, Kanye. Do that. If that audience doesn't turn to like 100% Trump supporters, you're going to be shit out of luck, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
You know, your concert, first of all, if they turn into 100% Trump supporters, not a single clap on beat will be found during your songs.
Oh, no.
Second of all, like, like you will completely lose credibility within your community. I mean, you've had several high-profile styles, in particular John Legend, who never pulls punches when he's talking about like social issues, and that's something I'll touch on in a second. But he reached out to you and was just like, hey man, like,
what's the deal with all this MAGA shit?
And he tried to come back at him like oh, you're trying to use reverse psychology on me and shit. It's just like, whoa.
Yeah,
I was just trying to be your friend, buddy. Like, if this is where you want to go, fine.
Really? Is that now they're enemies?
It's not that they're enemies, but I think John Legend was like, you know what? Maybe you just need to go through this. Maybe you just need to, because there are two ways to get a message across to people, especially when they have very extreme views. One is through logic. The other is through pain. If you can't be talked down, from the edge, then sometimes you just got to be allowed to, you know, Wile E. Coyote yourself over that fucking cliff. And when you, you know, when the stick of dynamite blows up in between your legs,
yeah,
you know,
basically he's Gamora at this point.
Oh,
Thanos is
God
Trump.
Damn. Oh man. The tears aren't for him.
I'm sorry, little one.
Oh God.
A giant Trump just tosses Kanye.
No, don't do it. I'm the voice of a generation.
It's just him, like he falls onto a pile of Yeezy sneakers.
Oh, jeez. Oh. Damn, now I want to see that like animated or something like that. That would be awesome. But yeah, you know, good luck to him. But my other point about...
Good luck to him.
Yeah. Could you tell that within that good luck to him, I was just basically saying, fuck Kanye.
Yeah.
But just another point with John Legend. It appears that John Legend appeared in the recent R. Kelly documentary that is on the Lifetime channel. It's like a 3-part or 6-part thing which I really want to watch. And people on Twitter have been congratulating him, saying like, wow, you're really brave for, you know, appearing in this and speaking out against like a fellow entertainer, stuff like that. It's just like, it's not really that brave. He's a predator of little girls and he should be fucking exposed.
Yeah.
And it was just like, God damn, John Legend. Shit.
Wow. I have a newfound respect for John Legend. I'm not going to go blasting ordinary people like, you know, on my speakers or anything. It's just like, all right, now I really like him as a person.
It's like, all right. I just love it when stars who don't necessarily have to speak up about these things just because of the privilege of being famous and rich can sort of insulate you, do so nonetheless, especially in a really raw way. It's just like, yeah, the guy's a fucking pedophile. Like,
yeah.
You should be exposed. Like,
it's fucking awesome.
It's really, really
It's
awesome.
Weird. Like, I didn't think that R. Kelly's career would still be... It's still a monument unto itself. Like, he's still doing it,
He's still doing it, and that poses some serious questions in terms of, like, his fan base and what the fan base is willing to overlook. Like, look, all right, we all had feelings for his music at one time, but, like, we're in a new age now. We have to put things in proper context, and by supporting him, you do enable this behavior. You enable rape culture. So it's something that there's some deep soul searching that has to be done within the community.
You're asking deep soul searching. Wait, for him to do deep soul searching or
no, his supporters.
Okay.
His fan base.
Right.
You know,
because for him, asking him to do deep soul searching.
No,
you're asking for something that is beyond his capacity.
That guy is so slimy. I've seen him in one or two interviews, especially with a female interviewer. And he is so condescending. He always calls them sweetheart and tries to be, oh, but you're beautiful and this, that, and the other. And I saw one interviewer was just like, I really don't need for you to speak to me this way. Like,
I remember seeing that.
Like,
didn't he walk off? Like, that was one of
eventually,
his...
Eventually he walked because she was not taking his shit. But I felt uncomfortable for her. But at the same time, I was also rooting for her when she spoke back to him. Like, this isn't what you're trying to make it into. Like,
come on, dude, grow the fuck up.
Exactly.
Man. Oh man. So many slimy dudes out in the world, man.
A lot of slimy dudes. I hope that the trend continues. It's going to be painful. It's going to be rough, but the male culture needs to change. Period.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it'll change, you know, after 2020. Or before, depending on whether Trump goes to jail or not.
It's not going to be...
I know, first of all, that's wishful thinking.
I definitely hope he goes to jail. But, like, this culture was here before Trump, and it'll be here after Trump. So it's going to be the long war, basically. But I hope and pray that it keeps on going and that there's a change. And it has to happen on every level, both in the media and like everyday interactions, you know, like we got to raise our sons to be better.
Yeah, we do. You know, I just wanted to mention one last Trump thing.
Okay.
But did you see the press conference that he had where he was like, he was talking about how I had a dream.
Please tell me you didn't say I had a dream.
No.
I didn't see it, but I heard about this. I heard that it was so crazy. People are just like, we need to enact the 25th Amendment now and have him removed because he's actually unfit.
Well, the House is launching like God only knows how many investigations into like his shit right now. Mm, they just announced it. It was just like, oh no, fuck him. You know? And when Nancy Pelosi was pressed on it, they were just like, is the House going to investigate? And she was like, well, we'll see. We'll see.
I was just like, fucking with them.
I know. She isn't, because she said, like, you know, if impeachment were to go through, it's like it'd have to be a bipartisan choice to make. And I was just like, bipartisan? Are you still doing this? You don't fucking go bipartisan anymore.
It's not what she's saying is that it's not just within the power of the Democrats to impeach this guy. Like they have to have Republicans come on board.
Republicans can eat a dick.
They can, but like the way it works, like it can't just be the Democrats in one voice saying impeach him and then he's gone. Like some people have to come on board from the other side and say, yeah, he's kind of a problem. We got to get rid of him. It's just one of those things. I wish it wasn't.
In regards to Trump, he was talking about how he was having a dream that he entered a room that was full of computers and that he was witnessing some kind of war between ISIS and the Taliban. And oh no, I'm mixing up shit. You know what? Fuck it. He was talking about how right now there's a war between the Taliban and ISIS, and in this long rambling like rant from him, he was just like, you know, I don't understand why we keep intervening with these situations, you know, why do we even belong in Afghanistan? And then he proceeded to explain what the Soviet Union was.
Oh yeah, basically
how it changed from the Soviet Union into Russia because of Afghanistan. Uh-huh. And then people in the room were just like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he was just like, I would make a great general.
Oh,
that's how he punctuated that whole thing. And then I was like, Cadet Bone Spurs?
Cadet really? Bone Spurs, jeez. Oh, man.
He's hit him?
Have you?
He's gonna. He thinks he'd be a great general? Him. Anyway, that's the last of the Trump stuff
He's such an idiot. He's such an idiot. And the thing is, I saw somebody write this on social media the other day. It's like, Trump, the reason Trump's base follows him the way they do is because he is them. I mean, take away the assets and the money that he's accrued through mostly the efforts of his father. But his lack of knowledge of world issues, his lack of ability to articulate himself, and the belief that all reality is based on how he feels about it, how he interprets it through that filter, that's his base, you know? And that's, it's really, really unfortunate because it speaks to our educational infrastructure. There are a lot of people who just will forego holding anybody, especially Trump and anybody on his side, to some sort of criticism in favor of just feeling right. Not being right, feeling right. Right. You know, that's a very scary thing to think about.
Well, I don't know. I just hope this situation changes now that, you know, it's starting to look like the House is starting to put pressure on his whole administration. So
I hope Auntie Maxine gets those tax returns.
Oh boy.
Starts airing out that laundry. She has a lot of power in the position that she's in. Like, she can fucking commandeer them shits.
Yeah. So. Wouldn't that be the day?
Oh, God.
Well, we should probably... We're at the 41-minute mark. We should probably remind people who we are.
I think we should. I think okay. we should. All right. Guys, I'm Ernesto Mancebo.
And I'm Pablo Morales-Martinez.
And together we are Robots versus Taxes on Radio Free Brooklyn.
In case you forgot.
In case you were... think you were listening to KTU.
Yeah.
You're like, when are these guys going to drop the beat? You know,
so waiting for tonight.
God. Wow. Wow. My co-host here, my buddy, my soldier has still not let up on the whole Aquaman thing.
No. We're going to go see that movie.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, we're going to go see that movie.
Folks, if
hell or high water.
If you're in Brooklyn this weekend, this first weekend of 2019, and you happen to see a Salvadorian dragging a Dominican into a theater somewhere, just kicking and screaming, I don't want to go! You're going to watch it, and you're going to enjoy it! Then, you know, you've basically... come across our show.
Yeah. In a nutshell. So.
Why do you want to do this?
Why do I want to do it? I don't know. It's. I have a thing for Jason Momoa's tattoos.
Do you just like pain?
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I've just seen a bunch of people on my social media say how awesome it is. Mm-hmm. And I've saw a clip of the battle between Aquaman and Aquaman. I can't believe I'm saying
I could see it in your eyes.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh my God, has it come to this where I'm defending Aquaman?
Look.
So Aquaman is fighting Black Manta. Mm-hmm. So I was hold on a second. No, I'm keeping it together. Fuck it. I could do this. All right. So yeah, I saw a clip of Aquaman fighting Black Manta, and I was like, that looks awesome. So.
Were they underwater?
No. He was fighting him on like the foothills of fucking Italy or some shit. You know, Aquaman, a.k.a. Arthur Curry, was severely outmatched. Hmm. And I was really interested in the fight. Plus, the design of Black Manta is dope.
Okay.
And I've heard that it's like cheesy and over the top and shit like that. And like, you know, people come riding in on giant seahorses. And I'm just like, that is a movie I want to see.
Oh.
I just want to see a movie full of like undersea schlock.
I hope one of the giant seahorses, gives birth. Have you ever seen a seahorse give birth?
No.
They basically just ejaculate their babies into the water.
Yes, like, I've seen. Yeah.
It's so hot. No, I'm just. Let me stop.
Gross.
Hey, if we're going to go schlocky, let's go. All let's right. go the whole nine yards, you know?
You went from schlocky to hentai weird.
Hey, no. No, hentai weird gets deeper than that.
It's fucking fucked up, man.
Hentai. That's how you say that
man,
word.
I feel like you say it like that. I need to take a shower now. Well,
that's how you say the word. I mean, you don't say hentai. You know, it's like it's hentai.
Hentai. God bless you. You know, hentai. So yeah, we have to go see it. I just think enough's enough.
You're putting your foot down.
I'm putting my foot down. Or my fin. Or whatever.
Oh, my God. Why?
I can make. Because.
Oh, first pun of the year.
I hate myself. Oh.
This is how we roll.
Puns blazing.
Or swim.
Let the record show that I just tapped my head against the microphone. But yeah, that's what's going to happen. The new Punisher trailer dropped.
Oh, I haven't seen it. How's that look? It
looks pretty intense.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you don't go into that being like, oh man, I can't. It looks so lighthearted and fun. It just seems like more like, I'm going to fuck shit up. And people deserve punishment. It's like, right on, Frank. You kill all those people. All
right.
Murder.
That's what the show should just be called. Murder.
Murder Man.
Oh, man. Just let the bodies hit the floor and then, you know, and then we'll clap and love the season, I'm sure, and then you'll get canceled.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So
we're pretty sure. We're calling it now, folks. Punisher is going to be canceled after the season. Surprise.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, I can't wait. I feel like the waiting has definitely made the anticipation go up for this show, because it's sort of like it's the dark horse of all the Netflix Marvel series.
It's definitely like even the theme song to me is like one of my favorite theme songs to a show. It's like,
yeah,
like that whole the whistling thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love his theme song. I love and I don't know, I love his whole character, and I love the over the top violence.
The portrayal is just brilliant. I'm so happy for this actor. Like he's made this character his own, and he set the bar.
Yes.
There have been several actors before him who've, you know, to various levels of success have portrayed the Punisher, but this guy has pretty much defined Punisher on screen. So yeah.
A lot of cool shit happening this year. Endgame, of course, is the thing that we reiterate like every single fucking show.
I don't know if this year, if there will be any movie that surpasses Endgame in terms of anticipation and epicness. It's like, it's definitely beyond a movie at this point. It's an event. It's an event that's going to happen at the end of April. And whatever happens after that is just the echo of that, you know? So we're looking at you, Star Wars.
Aww.
We haven't heard shit from you. And you've got an uphill battle because for some reason, this hate for The Last Jedi has reached a level that is...
It's seriously ridiculous.
Yeah, it's really ridiculous. But
I don't understand. Like, I understand the hate for the prequels. Mm-hmm. I understand that, because I fucking hate the prequels.
Sure, yeah.
But the last...
Why do you hate this prequel? Oh,
I'm sorry, let me stop. Don't make me cancel the show. what's it called? The Last Jedi, like, I don't get the hate. The action was cool. I like the story. It had its flaws, sure, but it didn't. You know what it was? I think it was the fact that the casino planet excursion scene reminded people of the prequels, and people just washed the taste out of their mouth.
People were just going into shock in the theater, like, no, 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 not again.
they are standing in line at the Ziegfeld waiting to get into the Phantom Menace.
Oh my God. Fuck the Ziegfeld. Rest in peace.
Yeah. It closed?
I think so. I think the prequels killed it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I could see that. I never saw the prequels there. All my friends, all my nerdy friends at the time were just like, yeah, we're going down to the Ziegfeld, you know. And I was just like, you know.
It was the IMAX / Alamo before they existed.
Yeah, pretty much. And like, you know, my parents were just like, you ain't going to go fucking sleep on the ground. Like a fucking, you know, like a. Like some common rat.
Some
common street rat.
I could definitely see. And you're, oh no. And then you break out into an Aladdin musical.
Yes,
you
know, I was just thinking that.
With a little like monkey friend on your shoulder.
So, It's like, I don't know why I decided to go the monkey route, but all right. So I didn't do that. I ended up watching fucking, what's it called? My big fat Greek wedding.
Oh, wow.
At the Ziegfeld.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
The only movie I ever saw there.
Lord. Wow.
It's my mom's birthday.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't just like, today I'm going to go see the big fat Greek wedding.
I don't know, man. You make me question you sometimes. It's like for the past 2 weeks, you're like, I'm going to go fucking see Mary Poppins by myself and I don't give a fuck. And I'm like, okay.
I still plan on doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, you know, dude, ever since the holidays, money's been tight.
Dude, take somebody, please. Take a niece. No. Take a niece or nephew.
No.
Don't just sit there by yourself. Because
I just want to shout in the theater.
Oh, God.
At all the magic, okay?
Dude, please. Please don't.
You can't stop me, Mancibo.
Apparently not. You've got this sort of movie-watching power where you can either go by yourself or drag people who don't want to go. It's like you're the terrible movie whisperer.
You throw another sarcastic quip at me, and I'm going to lose it. I'll not have this aggression, man. This aggression will not stand, man.
You're not the only one cursed with watching bad movies.
Oh, yeah.
And then you say.
Yes, I am.
You say, my only curse is you.
Oh, right. Oh, I didn't know we were doing the whole Infinity War.
Yeah, no. Next episode, we're going to reenact all the key moments of Infinity War in voice and costume. So, you know, stand
speaking of cosmic battles, I saw Bumblebee.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You're just on a tear. Are you okay? You know what? It was that fucked up whiskey that you drank like a month ago.
Oh, yeah.
What's it called? Like horse fire or something like that?
I don't know. All I know is that it brained my damage.
I think it's actually from like the Old West.
Yes.
When cowboys used to roam the streets. You know?
It's like in fucking Back to the Future 3 when Marty McFly knocks over that cup of whiskey and it smokes up.
It's xenomorph acid is what it is, you know. So how was Bumblebee?
Bumblebee was surprised. I went to see it with our friend, a friend of the show, Frankie the Sock.
Okay.
And also the Super Live Adventures' very own Chris Sorrentino.
Hmm.
And yeah, I saw it with them, and it was a surprise because it's the best Transformers movie I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Hands down. And, you know, that's not saying much. You know, the bar is very low. And, you know, John Cena's in it, and he delivers his lines like he's eating a bologna sandwich at all times. Like, he's got a bologna sandwich, pieces of it stuck to the bottom of his mouth.
It must have been weird to just only have his voice in the movie.
John Cena?
Yeah.
And John Cena actually acts, emotes in the movie. He's
no,
in it.
No, that's you could only have heard his voice. It's impossible that you could have actually seen him.
Oh,
in the
that's
movie.
Right. I didn't see him.
Nobody can actually see John Cena. I'm really proud of the way I sort of like carved that out, and then you just casually walked into it and then eventually realized, oh shit, I'm in a tent, you know, so
upon closer inspection, these appear to be loafers.
Oh, my God.
All right. We should wrap it up.
All right, folks. Well, thanks for tuning in for this first episode of 2019. And we promise you, for the rest of the year, we're going to bring you more episodes.
Quality episodes, if by quality you've heard this previous episode and you're just like, that's quality.
Yeah.
Sure.
And the fact that you could hear it.
Yeah.
You know, so that counts as quality.
Yes. So, of course, I'm Pablo Morale Martinez.
And I'm Ernesto Mancibo.
And together we are
Robots versus Taxes on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yes. Yes. So while you're out there, you could try keeping it real.
But you should try keeping it right. Song of the week.
2,000 on thermometers, 2,000 surrounding us. Travel 2,000 kilometers to hang out with us. What's up, danger? What's up, danger? Hey, didn't know they doubted us. Makes it that more marvelous. Sign them up, cause ominous vibes and I get synonymous. What's up, danger? Hey, don't be a stranger. Cause I like high chances that I might lose. I like it all on the edge, just like you. Hey, I like tall buildings so I can leap off of them. I go hard with it, no matter how dark it is. I'm insane, but on my toes. I could keep the world balanced on my nose. A slumber party with all my foes. Now I wear them like a badge on all my clothes. If I'm crazy, I'm on my own. If I'm waiting, it's on my phone. If I sound lazy, just ignore my tone. Cause I'm always gonna answer when you call my phone. Like, what's up, danger? Like, what's up, danger? Blindfold on. Mama always asking, where did I go wrong? What's up, danger? What's up, danger? Travel 200 miles, I'm knocking at your door. And I don't really care if you ain't done wrong. Come on, what's up, danger? Don't be a stranger. I like it when trouble brews, I won't dare change. I like it when there's turbulence on my airplanes. I like it when I sense things that I can't see yet. Swimming with sharks when they ain't feed yet. Cause I like high chances. Danger. Like, what's up, danger?